What is the hardest thing for us to do? I'm not looking for what's second or third on the list. What is the absolute number one hardest thing for us to do? Is it not to forgive? To forgive. To forgive especially that one person who so mistreated me. But why is it so hard? For one, because we think that person deserves justice, not mercy. He should receive punishment for what he did to me. Isn't that what the law demands? Isn't that what the law requires? That he receives the due reward for his sins. And I just want to see that the law gets upheld. There's surely no harm in wanting the law to be upheld, is there? But this is surely where God and His Son, Jesus Christ, must come into the picture. Because the punishment that our sins deserved, God laid on His Son. The Scriptures say that the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And shouldn't that come into consideration every single time someone sins against us and needs our forgiveness? Whether that someone realizes he needs forgiveness or not is completely irrelevant. Because even when we were enemies to God, He reconciled us to Him by the death of His Son. Every single day is a new day. God has given us in Christ another day of forgiveness. Another day of God giving us not what our sins deserve, but what Christ has deserved for us. He made us acceptable to the Father by grace, which we receive through faith. He bought us back. He delivered us from everything that separated us from Him, including sin and death and the devil. He gives us new life in His Spirit, granting us the true saving faith through the Word. He promises to keep us in that saving faith until our very last day. Why is it still so hard for us to forgive then? Why did Peter even need to ask Jesus how many times he needed to forgive his brother? He said, 7 times, Lord? Jesus responded, 70 times 7, meaning forgive without limit. It is true. God enables us to forgive. He gives us the strength to do it. But still, how we love to call for justice. How the media just loves to tell the whole world just how evil certain people are. And now you, as part of the audience, get to decide. You get to take an online poll or call this number if you think the defendant is truly guilty. And if so, what punishment is deserved? That's why it's so important. It is so crucial that we try to put ourselves in their shoes. What if the roles were reversed? What if I was the one who slipped up? What if I was the one who sinned? What if I was the one on trial, facing maybe even very serious charges? Or what if the person on trial was my son or my daughter or my brother or my sister, would I then still be calling for justice? Or would I be calling for mercy and forgiveness? What could possibly be more important than forgiveness? What could possibly measure up to the value of the forgiveness God has so freely given us in His Son, His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life? How important it is that we take that forgiveness into consideration when we are facing the sins of our brother or sister and when they need to be forgiven. Simon the Pharisee was definitely the one calling for justice. He spoke within himself saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner." These two people couldn't have been any different, at least seemed any different on the outside, at least. As a Pharisee, Simon was a master at following the rules. He was a master at keeping a spotless record, at least before the eyes of the people. As a Pharisee, he knew his stuff. He knew it well. He was well educated. He knew the Bible. Most of all, he knew how to look good. The woman didn't fare so well in that category. The way the scriptures describe her, it's clear that she is known for her bad behavior. She's a well-known sinner. It's obvious to everyone that she failed miserably, not only at being an upright citizen, but also at being faithful to God. According to human reason, then, we could easily deduce from this, according to human reason, that Simon must be a great man of faith. Well, it certainly looks like it. This woman certainly doesn't look that way. Yet the way each one treats Jesus paints a totally different picture. Simon does absolutely nothing to welcome Christ. "I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. Thou gavest me no kiss. My head with oil thou didst not anoint." All these things Simon could have done, as was customary in that day, to give him a warm welcome. He didn't do one. "But this woman hath washed my feet with tears, wiped them with the hairs of her head. Since the time I came in, she hasn't ceased to kiss my feet and hath anointed my feet with ointment." Jesus tells a very clear illustration. Two people owed some money, the one 500 pence, the other 50. From the parable of the laborers, we know that one pence is equal to about a day's wage. That means the one man owed about 2 years' worth of wages. The other owed about 2 months. Both were pretty decent amounts of money, but one by far owed more. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." Jesus said he judged rightly. The point is that the woman began to realize the great debt she owed. Just think of how much of an awakening that must have been for her. Like the prodigal son who finally came to himself, it says, finally realizing the great debt he owed because of his sins, because of her sins. She finally realized it. She longed to be forgiven. And Jesus responded with the most beautiful words. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. It's not just that we've committed sins. It's that we are sinners. And we are all equally in need of God's forgiveness in Jesus Christ, who went to the cross to accomplish everything needful for us to be saved. No matter how faithful, no matter how religious we think we've been, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. There is no greater joy than knowing we are forgiven in Christ, not only for our sins, also for being sinners. Through faith in Him, through faith in Jesus Christ, who had a completely sinless birth, all that is offensive in us has been removed. And we are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in Him will be saved. Christ says He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And that just begs the question, are there in existence any who are truly righteous without the righteousness of God's Son, who lived the perfect life, who gave His life for us? The good news is that God continues to call us sinners to repentance, and His call is not in vain. His Word and His Spirit are powerful, and they do work repentance in us. And He even gives us the faith to believe in Him. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. No matter how great our sins may be, they are all fully and completely forgiven in Jesus Christ. And He promises to keep us in that saving faith through His Word until the very end. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passeth all understanding keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.